First, you have to say we are going to believe in this type of culture, because with that, there will be mistakes that people will make. But if the entrepreneur understands your vision, where the company's headed, and they're all in, they will be the difference maker in most companies. They will determine every business or business success more than any product or service will. And it goes back to culture.
Is your business struggling right now? You might think that it's because you don't have enough sales, but the reality is it's because you don't have the attention of the marketplace. This is attention equals dollars. You deserve more. Your business deserves more. And I'm here to teach you everything that I know on how to get the attention that you need and to turn that attention into dollars. Welcome to the Attention Equals Dollars podcast. I'm your host, Luke Nessler, where we come to you live every single week, and I bring my expert group of friends, those that have done big, amazing things in their career, and we bring to you their advice. And today I've got an exciting guest, somebody that I've gotten to know over the past 6 months from being out and getting attention, being at events, my branding content online. It spurred a relationship between my guest today, RJ Grimshaw, and myself. And I brought RJ on because he's doing some really, really cool things, and I'm excited to have him on today. RJ, welcome to the Attention Equals Dollars podcast, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Luke. And first, I want to give you a compliment because you're one of the few guys that are doing Facebook Lives that actually provide valuable content and action items. There's so many coaches and people that are out there saying the same thing. And what attracted me to you was that you truly add value when you're doing a live stream or any content that you're putting out there. So
I appreciate that. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that.
So you're one of the few. It's amazing. There's a lot of noise out there. And after I watched a couple videos, as well as your episodes that you're doing behind the scenes, so many small business owners don't realize the hard work, and kudos to you and your team for being transparent to you know, one, the hustle, two, the strategic vision, and three, you know, the focus on where you want to go. So kudos to you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I think it's important for people to understand. I mean, a lot of times people look at myself and others that put that type of content out, and they look at it as, what, do you not have anything better to do than just to put stuff online? And it's not that. I'm going to be completely transparent. I'm not doing it to be a nice guy. I'm not doing it to be a saint. I'm doing it to get more attention on myself so that I can acquire more customers, because a customer to me is somebody that I can help, and I can't help somebody if they don't know me or think of me. So the whole concept behind what we do and what everybody should be doing is we put content out that brings value to others, because you're going to pay attention to something that is beneficial to you as opposed to a direct call to action based ad. And then from that, we're able to acquire a customer. We're able to help somebody grow their business. So it's what you're saying you see me doing is important for everybody to understand that it's something they should be doing as well. And it's how you properly get attention. I mean, there are other ways, but
the way that you add true content and true action items is a differentiator. And a lot of times I watch your video and it just reiterates to myself that belief system that I should be doing it more often. I was an early adopter to social media, in terms of the Twitter, LinkedIn, networking with people, and what it does for, what I firmly believe what it does, and you believe the same thing, is that it shortens your sales cycle, and it really helps your sales cycle, because you can build credibility extremely quick if you are adding that value of your content and telling people specific action items. And I'm always asked, well, geez, if you share what you're doing, are you fearful that someone else is going to take your ideas and duplicate that? And I actually want people to take action items and duplicate it, because I come from a mind of abundance, and there's enough business for everyone to attract. And the thing is that 90% of the people don't take advantage of it because they're not willing to put in the hard work.
So true. Yeah, absolutely. It's true. It's a great point.
But it won't happen. So I'm an open book. I'm an open book with competitors. I'm an open book to, you know, putting my content out there, because again, everyone should have the same playbook. It's about execution.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And I mean, one of the big things that has kept me from being afraid of what if the competitors see what I'm doing, man, I move with speed. So it's, if I put something out today, it's not going to be the only bit of information that I hold on to and I monetize over the next 6 months. I'm putting out something that is valuable to you today that you're going to need. And by the time a competitor tries to rip me off and start talking about the same thing, that's fine, because those that are true leaders and experts of their craft never stop evolving and getting better. So if you're worried about a competitor ripping off your content, you're probably already going to be 3 or 4 steps ahead of them, which is still going to make you look like the best.
And that's a compliment to you when they're duplicating or ripping off and duplicating in the marketplace. It actually adds more validity to what you're trying to do. And again, you're so far out in front of the curve than everyone else. And I can actually tell you a story in regards to that. And my previous employer, we were a large institutional bank, and they really weren't savvy in social media. But I was. I had Twitter, I had LinkedIn, I was posting, and a lot of times my boss, who was the chief sales officer at the time, would, you know, poke fun at me that I was posting on LinkedIn or content on LinkedIn or content on Twitter or YouTube videos and things of that nature. And lo and behold, 7 years later, he calls me to assist his board of directors at his new company on what they should be doing for social media. Mm-hmm. And asked me if I'd be willing to do that, because he finally realized that the advantages to the social media outweighed any negative connotation to that. And you had to be willing to do that. And again, early on, I adopted to that. I still have buddies that make fun of me, and that's fine. But I also applaud guys that are willing to take that risk and stick their neck out, because it's not the easiest thing to do. But after you do it, you know, for a while and continue to do it, it'll pay dividends. It's nothing that you're going to typically not see right away, unless you have, you know, a professional like you that can come in and show the plan and with deliverables that live it every single day. But social media is powerful, and anyone that hasn't bought in yet, they'll be left behind, and they'll continue to be left behind, because the next generation is just be,
it's where they're paying attention. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I have two boys, and that's they're on Instagram. They're on Snapchat. They don't check email. They don't text message. They do, but really it's on the social media platforms. And it's amazing in my world of how many people I receive a resume that want to come to work for Unify Equipment Finance that do not have a LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And there's no, you know, LinkedIn profile, there's no photo. And I've been very passionate in sharing to local universities that they should have a class on how to build a LinkedIn profile for every graduating, actually every incoming freshman should have a LinkedIn page. That's their digital resume. And it's still shocking on how many people do not have that. That's the only place that you can capture your digital resume and build your brand from a professional perspective. Has it evolved? You've seen it evolve. It's becoming more of a social media and video, but still at the end of the day, it's where 9 out of 10 people go. And it also helps your Google ranking when you have a strong profile.
Yeah, it's just, it's a matter of you've got to be, whether you want to be there or not, you've got to be where your customers are paying attention. It's, you know, there's that one guy that didn't want to move over to using the vehicle and stop using a horse. And that guy probably got put out of business, because once his competitor started using what everybody else was doing, the thing that was bigger, better, faster, stronger, then you're at a loss. So whether you like social media or not, you got to look at it as a tool and not get caught up in all of the reason people don't like it, which is it's a gossip engine as well. And if you get stuck in that rut, it's definitely something that's going to hold you back rather than help you grow. So it's all a mindset shift. RJ, great. You mentioned something here recently on our friend Matt Monero's podcast. You talked about something, and man, it was, it resonated with me. As a CEO of a company, and we have a bunch of young, talented employees, that my business partner and I are always trying to look for ways to get more buy-in from these people. How do we get them to take extreme ownership over what their role is and to have the same pride of what they're doing as we do, the owner? And I heard you talk about the difference between an intrapreneur and an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And the show, Attention Equals Dollars, is all about how do you get attention? Well, you can't get mass exposure if you have a team that not everybody's on board. And when you get that mass exposure, if you start to have an increase in business, you're not going to be able to do the best job possible if your team is not fully invested in their craft and what they're doing. So talk to me about the entrepreneur versus intrapreneur concept. What is it? Why does it matter to somebody like me, someone like you, and somebody like our viewers today?
Sure. So I'm very passionate about this topic because I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs. My dad owned several different companies, very successful. And matter of fact, I owned my first company at the age of 22. So I'm an entrepreneur at heart. How I developed this concept, and it's not a concept that I developed, it was developed back in 1973. And really what it is a skill set and mindset of an entrepreneur within a corporate environment. And the value that it brings one to the company is that you have people that have that ownership and able to grow the vision, the strategy, complete buy-in without taking the risk. And so many people want to be an entrepreneur because it's the sexy thing to do, and they look past the opportunity that they have currently in their environment. So what you are is you're really a business within a business. And with that being said, you still need to build out your own brand, which in turn will turn or help assist the brand that they're working for. And in the long run, it's going to pay dividends for that person, in the long term, in the long run. Now, as a business owner, Luke, and this is what I specifically talk about, is that you have to identify, first you have to say, we are going to believe in this type of culture of ownership. Because with that, there will be mistakes that people will make. But if the entrepreneur understands your vision, where the company's headed, and they're all in, they will be the difference maker in most companies. They will determine every business or business success more than any product or service will. And it goes back to culture. And if you and your owners or your management team say, this is a culture that we will evangelize and allow you to participate in, the next thing is going out and identifying people that have a certain skill set that would want to work within your company. And it provides a lot of freedom to people too. First, being in the big corporate America, as soon as you make that decision that it's your game changer, which I firmly believe that's what's driven our success at Unify Equipment Finance, is this mindset. When you go from 13 million to 100 million in sales, you need extreme ownership and entrepreneurs.
Right.
So what you want to look for, all business owners, and yourself, you want to identify core skills of people that are either on your team today or when you go to market to hire. And I know that you're growing and you're looking to hire, but really it goes back to ownership from that person, that they own every situation that they're in. And you can pull that out during the interview process.
Just tell me how you do that. Cause that's my question. And I want to take a second to dive in on that, because I'm so happy with the team that we've got right now. I think this is probably the best lineup of team members that we've had. And we've had a lot of great people in the past, but we've also had folks that, man, it was a job. They were out right at five, sometimes way before five. It was a job, and that's fine. For some people, that's going to be them, but that's not who I want working for my company. So how do you find those high achievers, those performers, those people that take their position in a company and look at themselves as the CEO of themselves and really crush it? What do you look for in an interview to avoid getting those stragglers that every company has?
Yeah, and I define that. So I'll answer your question, but I define that as a functional employee versus a vital employee. If someone wants to be a functional employee, they're going to work five. If they want to be a vital employee, that in a downturn, which we all know we're headed to, unfortunately, probably in the next 12 to 24 months, that will be the last person that might be let go, and they'll have a job forever because they have that different mindset. So your specific question is how you draw that out in the interview process. It's really several different questions, but you will typically pull that out in the interview process. When you meet the person, you can understand, I call it the vibe of the person, as you're asking questions around what they've done in the past, also looking at what they do outside of work is a key component to that. I have one question that I ask on every single interview, and my management team asked me why I asked this question, but it was really to pull this out. And my one question is, what is your dream job if money wasn't an issue? And I also say, I don't want the corporate answer that you're going to give me. I want what is in your heart that you would do. And I tell them, my example is, you can see all the memorabilia in my background. I would be a sports coach. That'd be my dream job. Okay. I would just really love, and it doesn't matter coaching what. It could be a hockey team. It could be a football team. You know, I live here in Ann Arbor. It's one of the, greatest sports town there is in terms of college. Yeah,
for sure. So what's a red flag then? If somebody, what would, And I don't even know what my answer would be to that question if somebody asked me, because I guess I'm doing what I want to. I just like building businesses. But so let's say Tyler, my video producer, comes in and I ask him that question. What's a red flag if he says, I'd like to just smoke weed and sit on a beach all day? Like, what? Can you give me an idea?
That's a red flag. But I've had people that have started crying when I ask this question, because you really struck their heart and their passion. And really, that's a sense of ownership. When you see someone that starts crying over their answer, they have that built-in DNA that they own it. Sometimes I'll hear an answer of either I'm not sure, or they haven't thought about it, or geez, I'm not sure, I would maybe just watch TV more. You're really looking for things. I'll give you another example of this.
Has anybody ever said that to you, RJ? I'm curious. When you've asked that question, I sit at home, eat cereal, and watch TV. Have you ever gotten anything? Just why in the hell would you say that?
Well, I've had people that would say, I'd like to be on vacation all the time. I've had people say that, and me, okay, any other questions that you have for me? The interview comes to, you know, a quick conclusion. But some of the great answers that I've heard, we were interviewing a gentleman for a credit analyst position. And there was some hesitation because he always worked more in a sales role, and this was going to be more of an analytical role. And when I asked him that question, he said, my passion would be trading FX currency, which I do part-time now in the evening. If I could do full-time, that would be my passion. Well, as soon as he immediately told me that, I was head over heels to hire the gentleman, because he is analytical. He looks at monitors all day. He enjoys that in the evening time. And he's going to own his transactions when they come through and making that credit decision, because he is trading his own money on an evening basis that he's investing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that.
You know, again, you're just really trying to, and that's just one question. You know, if they show up regularly prepared for the interview, they have their resume, they're dressed apart, they're there early. It's a whole series of things.
Talk to me about, what about the guys and the gals that are already part of the team? If somebody's listening to this message today and they're like, this is what I need to do, how do you go into the next team meeting and now things are different, things have changed up? I have this same question about, I don't know if you've ever seen videos of Cardone's team meetings, at Grant Cardone's office. The energy in there, it is insane. It's like a locker room rally before the sports, you know, the football team goes out to play a big competitor. But I've struggled with the same question I'm asking you for that. I can't just show up tomorrow, start blaring music, yelling these chants, or my staff's going to look at me like, what, did this guy smoke crack before he came in today? What's going on? So how do you roll this out to your team in a way that it's going to be well received?
So first thing, when you roll out to your team, you have to ensure that your management team is bought in, because it just can't be loop driving. It has to be your core management team that you view as your executive manager, that they buy in this principle. The other thing, Luke, is you're not trying to look for everyone in your company to have this mindset, because if you have 15 people that are all extreme ownerships, entrepreneurs, your company will not be able to function. You do need functional employees within your organization.
I want people to make sure that they understand that if you're listening to this, so yeah, you always have the alpha males. You need those that are simply there to be the employee. Why is that?
Correct. Because at the end of the day, that 70% of the functional employee will have your business operate on a daily basis. If you had 100% of entrepreneurs, they would all be doing their own thing all the time. And you'd always be reining them in, which would take a lot of energy. Because the right set of an entrepreneur, they're going to take risks, and you have to be ready for those risks. But it has to be disciplined risks. So it's calculated. I'll give you an example of that. Again, in my previous employer, I put out a press release without any marketing approval. I worked with marketing department, but I never seeked any senior management approval. This is a publicly traded organization. We put the press release out. All of a sudden, we're receiving phone calls, and what it was is for a dealer of the year award, and we had 5,000 dealers that we worked with at the time. I made the decision, we're going to choose one. It's going to be within my vertical that I run, that I'm the general manager. We put out the press release, and the next thing, my boss is getting phone calls why other dealers weren't selected for that. He came to me. Who gave you the approval? I said, I just moved forward. I work with marketing. I firmly believe that this was positive, and tell me where the negative is. And what happened, Luke, all of a sudden, there was a dealer participation award that was built for dealers going forward, because the dealers wanted to win, and you want to do business with people who want to win. So my point is, if there was 12 RJs trying to do this in the organization, you'd have chaos. Yes.
Yeah. I love really, that.
You know, what you're looking for is that one or two or three people, and typically it's one or two. And that's within a group, within a company, a small company that will raise their hand and say, I want to be the go-to person. And I know I have my job description, but this is my core. I want to do more that's going to drive the strategic vision of the company. I'll give you another example. I hired my assistant. She came to me from the Detroit Red Wings. She spent 8 years there. She was burnt out. But there's not a task or objective that I give her that's not done better than what I expected, as well as she manages my time and my schedule. So it's a two-way street, and I ask for that. Now, if I had 12 people or 15 people like that, it would drive me crazy within my organization. So there's other traits that you want to look for, that they're a life learner. I'm very passionate about life learners. I ask them, what do they listen to on the radio? If someone says, I listen to four podcasts around, and whatever it is, it could be whatever their hobby is outside of the office. That's a life learner. That's someone that wants to take in knowledge and continue learning on a daily basis. You're like that. I'm like that. Matt Monero's like that. We can go on and on and on. But if they say, I just rock out every evening or listen to music, and I'm saying that's okay, but they should be listening to some podcasts or audio books. I'll ask, what's the last good book you read, or what's the last good business book you've read? So there's certain things. And then the third thing is passion. Do they have a passion to live? Do they get up excited in the morning to live? And you can tell that as soon as they walk through, they're going to walk through. My boss that hired me here, it's interesting. He had a mechanism to test what the time was from someone that arrived at his office, walked across his office to shake his hand. He would time them. If you walk with passion, you're walking with speed, and you know where you're going, that's the people that he wants to be wow. surrounded by on his team. So again, there's little things that you can look at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyone can look at.
How often, RJ, should a business owner, an entrepreneur that has a team of more than just themselves, how often should they be getting together with their staff? I mean, we do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We tried to do it every single day, and I found that we were just kind of having a meeting to have a meeting. So we scaled it back to 3 days a week. But how often should somebody realistically at least be meeting this many times a week, a month with their staff to make sure that everything we're talking about today is in place?
So we've done the same challenges, Luke. When we were growing this company, we went from huddles. We were doing it every day, and then it really stale. And then similar to what you're speaking of, Grant, you know, each department would give an update. But again, you have to have special people that are willing to do that. So we continue to trial and error different things. I think with the tools that are now in the market in terms of Slack, Evernote, but specifically Slack, there's a lot of initiatives that you can manage through Slack and not through email. I think quarterly minimum, you should be needing to talk about vision, 1 year plan, 3 year plan, 5 year plan, where you're headed, what's the next big investment in terms of within the organization. Probably once a week minimum companies should be meeting. When we started our bar, when I was 22 years old, we were having a staff meeting once a week that I was running with my dad, bartenders, of outlining, you know, the next 90 days.
I love that.
Where we're going. So, you know, one of the biggest things, and I'm not good. We continue to try and improve on this. And as you talk to your employees, they'll probably say one of the biggest challenges is communication, right? They're not being communicated to enough, and they want to know what's going on. But it's a fine line, because time is valuable. And when you're going at the pace you are, to communicate everything that you're focused on and working on, it's difficult to do that. So really, it's buying into the overall vision, and they can own it too. All they have to do is watch your videos, and they know where impact's headed, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, so one of the big things as we grew from just myself and my partner to now we have a team of about 13 people, and we'll probably be at 15 in the next 3 to 6 months. One of the big challenges I faced was, I'm not just a pitch man. I'm not just the CEO of a company. I used to execute all of what we offer today. I used to do it myself. I know how to create video marketing campaigns. I know how to launch ads. And my big thing was, I had to bring on a staff and offload those responsibilities to them so I could focus on running the business, not working in the business. And we failed for a very long time. And we really just got it right or got better at it in the last 12 to 24 months, we never had these consistent meetings. I would bring people on that truly, genuinely did not know what I expected of them. So when I talk about the people that were kind of the not the A players on the team, I take full responsibility for that because they thought they were doing what they needed to do. And they thought that their actions were acceptable, and I never met with them enough. So that's something that I'm big on now. We meet 3 days a week. At the very least, if somebody gets sick or I'm out traveling, we at least meet 2 days a week, and we go over who we are as a company, something I learned from Matt Monero, what are our core company values. And recently, we've started reviewing our strategic plan every single week. What's the next 12 months look like? What are the monthly key performance indicators that we have to hit in order to hit our yearly goal so that everybody is on the same page? And literally in the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 months, we've seen a changing of energy in the company because everybody feels like they're part of a team, and I'm seeing extreme ownership from literally, I mean, right now the gentleman that's directing the show is one of our interns. He's been here for 2 weeks. I mean, it's everybody from the CEO and the COO down to the interns are taking extreme ownership of what they're doing. And I credit a lot of that to the episode that I saw with you and Monero. Really shifted my mindset, and we implemented certain things from that. And I feel like you went deeper into some of those things today, so I'm super appreciative of that.
But it sounds like you're doing all the right things, and really it's just keeping that consistency. And again, we're far from perfect. I'm far from perfect. It's an everyday
challenge. Yeah, for sure. Man, I got so many flaws, I can't list them all.
Yeah. Just, you know, at the end of the day, I tell my team, it'll never be from a lack of effort and or passion to make everyone around me better, as well as make the organization better and build the brand in the marketplace. But absolutely, I guarantee I'm going to screw up today. I there's no doubt about it. And if I don't, the day I don't is the day you should start questioning. But there's a great book, and I don't know if you've read this book or not, called Double Double by Cameron Harold.
Double Double. Okay.
Double Double. I've
not read it.
And it's a wonderful book. And if you follow him on Facebook, he talks about many different things of when he doubled his revenues and what to focus on within his business. And there's some great videos. He has one of the most popular TED videos there are in terms of the education system and building entrepreneurs' mindsets and things of that nature. But I would, you know, tell you that's be a wonderful book to read because it talks about the painted picture and the vision of the company that the whole company participates in, building out where they want to be in 3 years, and then you have immediate buy-in.
Yeah,
love another that. Thing that it sounds like what you're doing is when you build a company of extreme ownership, people want to be surrounded by the same type of like-minded people.
Right.
And people who don't want to be pushed like that will be self-selected. Or they'll self-select out and decide to leave, especially when the economy is as strong as it is right now. If they're not happy somewhere, typically they can go find another job somewhere else. But it's an advantage to you because you can offer someone that wants to come in and hear their voice heard. And that should be part of your interviewing process of, here, we want you to come in. We want you to have this entrepreneur mindset. We want you to bring us ideas. And we want you to own it, which will not be part of your job description, but you will be rewarded long-term for that on multiple levels. And it's not always monetary. It's building your skill set to allow you to do certain things, such as your intern doing video work.
Right.
He can put that now on his resume, and it's a skill set that he
exactly.
Everyone.
Exactly.
But if you
yeah, it's so true. It's so true.
It's not an either or strategy, though, Luke.
Right.
So many companies will say, well, we're going to try it. But it has to be part of your culture and part of your strategy and communicate that to your organization. And again, you don't want everyone in the company to raise their hand and say, hey, I want to be that person. You probably can meet with your management team and identify people that have already shown these characters or the characteristics.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. RJ, I'm grateful for you being on the show, man. It's been a pleasure getting to meet you. Matt introduced us, Matt Monero, for those that haven't seen that episode, it was a great episode. Matt introduced RJ and I at the 10X Growth Con this past, was it February, right?
It was.
And man, it's been a pleasure getting to know you online and offline and having our conversations. And I'm looking forward to more of it. And for those that watch today, RJ he's the CEO and president of Unify. And he's doing extremely exciting things. And on top of that, he's an expert in this whole entrepreneurship versus entrepreneurship thing. It's how he's built the company he's with, and he's helped a lot of other people do the same. So, RJ, where can, if somebody wants to position themselves closer to you and see more of your content, where can we find you online?
Sure. You can Google rjgrimshaw.com. There's multiple videos. I have a website, rjgrimshaw.com as well. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, but really rjgrimshaw.com. And then as well as LinkedIn, I have over 50 different articles on sales, leadership, mindset, partnering, entrepreneurship. Again, I'm readily available online, and email is rj@rjgrimshaw.com. I love emails, people with questions, anything I can do to help them.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you being on here. And if you're watching today and you haven't subscribed, rated, and reviewed the show on iTunes, we'd greatly appreciate it if you do that. That's how we get discovered and find more people. And also, if you haven't discovered the show, we do a video version of this show as well on Facebook and YouTube. Be sure to check out the Luke Nestler channel on there. Tag a friend that you think this can help you with, or that can help your friend with. It's something that we bring each and every week to you, folks with different skill sets, folks that have done amazing things, and each week they're bringing you their advice. They're taking time out of their day. I'm taking time out of my day. Tag a friend that could use this. We greatly appreciate you. We will see you guys on the next episode of the Attention Equals Dollars podcast. Is your business struggling right now? You might think that it's because you don't have enough sales, but the reality is it's because you don't have the attention of the marketplace. This is Attention Equals Dollars. You deserve more. Your business deserves more. And I'm here to teach you everything that I know on how to get the attention that you need and to turn that attention into dollars.